Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, all unqualified praise due to Allah, thumma alhamdulillah, and after that all unqualified praise due to Allah, alhamdulillah, alladhi anzala alayna kitaba mubin, praise due to Allah, who set down upon us his book most clear, wa kana akhru ma nazala min ayatihi, al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinukum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mat, wa raditu lakum al-islam al-deen, and in the last ayah revealed, this day have I perfected for you your way of life. I have completed my favor upon you and have preferred for you al-Islam as your way of life. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. We bear witness to our testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment. There is no deity, no object of worship except Allah. Lahu al-mulk, his is the kingdom. Wa lahu al-hamd, to him is due all unqualified praise. Bi yadihi al-khayr, in his hand is all good. وهو على كل شيء قدير أن يتقوى all things. ونشهد أن سعيد محمد عبده ورسوله محمد is his slave servant and his messenger. We pray اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد. والله send your prayers, your peace and your blessing upon our leader Muhammad وعلى آله and upon his family وصحبه and upon his companions أجمعين. All of them, wa ya ayyuhal muslimun, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Amma ba'd, in tubdu sadaqati fa ni'ma hiya, wa in tukhfuha tu'tu hal fuqara'a fa huwa khayrun lakum, wa yukaffiru ankum من سيئاتكم والله بما تعملون خبير. صدق الله العظيم. Allah the mightiest has spoken the truth. An expression of this, the 271st ayah of Surah 2, chapter 2. It is, if you disclose acts of charity, then it is a blessing. But if you keep them secret and make them reach those who are really in need, that is best for you. It will remove from you some of your stains of evil. And Allah is well acquainted with what you do. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Allah the Mighty has spoken the truth. This is a continuation of the subject matter regarding property or wealth as one of the five columns, pillars, supports for ummah. You have to have wealth among the other things, and the four I'll mention: family, intellect, religion, the self, and we are speaking of property. And so we're following a series of verses from basically from the way we began, 261, and it actually goes to 286, the very end of the surah. And so we're continuing today. And the main thesis today, the main theme today is, of course, what the verse says. But I want you to have this as a background in your thinking as we continue for today. And that is, seen and unseen, Allah's presence and Allah's power never diminishes or changes. Seen and unseen, Allah's presence and Allah's power never diminishes or changes. And we go on, we get extended. But it is for us to understand Allah is never absent at any time of it. There's not a millisecond. There's not a microsecond. There's not any moment where, okay, God's not here right now. Let's go to this. No. No moment. There's no place in the universe. Don't even talk about on earth. No place in the universe where you can, quote, unquote, find yourself where Allah is not there. And his attributes, they never change. They never change. Allah is always Al-Khabir. Allah is always Ar-Rahman. Allah is always Al-Mu'id. Just go through that list and those that are not on that list that Allah mentions in the Quran. Allah is never absent, never changes. And so therefore, that's the reality that we live in. So when we think about this whole matter of wealth, when you look at this set of verses, it's about us getting past the illusion and coming into the faithful understanding, meaning how are we to understand how we relate to wealth based on our faith, based on this way of life called Al-Islam? What is, I'll use this language maybe to help get a little closer to what I'm trying to get you to think in. What is Islam's philosophy of wealth? What is Islam's ideology of wealth? What is Al-Islam proper? What is Al-Islam paradigm for wealth? What is it that Allah, the creator of all of this, what is it that he revealed and wants those who believe in him understand about the nature of their life in this creation as it relates to wealth? You see, this is a part of the perfect favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there are so many who have not gotten it figured out. Okay, there's money, there's wealth, there's property, etc. And there's some, I just love having it. That's what I know. You know, I ain't got none. That's what I know. Is that what Allah wants you to know? No. What Allah wants you to understand is that there's a nature for wealth. And as a role that wealth plays in the life that Allah created us in. And so this is what the revelation is about. So to speak to this particular verse, 271, that opening verse, the verse that we just opened with, in Tubdu Sadiqati Fa'ni'amahiyya, if you disclose acts of charity, that's a blessing. It is a blessing. Right? And then the other one, the second part of it says, وَإِن تُخْفُهَا And if you reveal it, if you disclose it, so if you disclose it, was the first one, if you disclose it, then that's a blessing. But if you keep it secret and make it reach those who really need it, that is better for you. Okay? So a big part of this whole series and a big part of the life that we have to come through is that Allah is telling us, don't be so grasping. Don't be so afraid of the absence of wealth in your life that you fail to give to those who are needy. And also you fail to recognize Allah's right in what you have that you call yours. Do you understand everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to have possession of is only a loan from Him for a time? And He has rights in it. So the fear of being without it can cause us to fail to give Allah His rights and fail to give those who need their rights in our wealth because they are the dependents of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah said, look, I gave you that so you can give it to some people who need, who don't have access to it. And cry. And if you're grateful, I'll give you more. And whatever you spend, it will be returned to you. I'm just mentioning verses that we've already talked about. You can't outgive God. I know you've heard that before. But it's real for us, and perhaps it's real for the others who say it in other spiritual systems. But we speak from the Lord, cherish and sustain of all the world without doubt. So, but this verse also opened up to another verse because you had, you know, if you keep it secret or if you make it known, right? It brought my attention to 284, which is in the latter part of the set of verses that we're working with. لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِنْ تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُهُ يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَا يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ عَلَّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ صدق الله العظيم. This is 284. And an expression of it is this. To Allah belongs all that is in the heavens and on the earth. That, again, speaks to the wealth. It doesn't matter how much gold, how much diamonds, how much oil, how many other resources there. They all belong to Allah. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ His is the kingdom. وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ He has power over everything. Everything is His possession. He's the possessor of all glory and honor. Everything. It belongs to Allah. So this verse is saying, to Allah belongs all that is in the heavens and the earth. And whether you show what is in your mind, this verse, whether you show what is in your mind or conceal it, yeah, think about it. It's like, we said Allah is never absent at any time or place. So you think Allah is in your head? You think Allah inside knowing what you're thinking, inside your body knowing what you're feeling? You understand the principle that I'm speaking from? Meaning that there's nobody, okay, well, God, he ain't in here. No, God is everywhere, quote, unquote, his power, his presence, his cognizance. There's not a secret you can keep from God. Nobody knows this. Allah knows. All right? It's very important to take that in. So whether you show it or whether you conceal it, Allah calls you to account for it. He forgives whom he pleases, and he punishes whom he pleases, for Allah has power over all things. Trying really, with Allah's help and Allah's grace in your hand, and I'm inviting you. We need to understand how we are, how we exist in the presence of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. See, when I'm not with you and you're not with me, Allah is with both of us. Doesn't matter. Yeah, I know I'm probably saying too much, but I gotta look. You're in the bathroom. Allah knows you're in the bathroom. You're in your house. Allah knows you're in the house. There's nowhere you can go where Allah is not. And so Allah is saying, whatever you try to hide or whatever you show, I already know it. So don't have the consciousness where, you know, you think, whatever the case may be, I'm getting away with this. You ain't getting away with nothing. Horrible stories in there. I don't know what they're doing with these headlines. I mean, but, you know, y'all let me know if you really got some insight on this. Some of the worst things that you can imagine people doing has been in the headlines. It used to be you look for that kind of stuff in the Inquirer magazine. This girl stabbed her baby, allegedly, stabbed her baby, she said, and she was trying to stab the dog for eating her chicken sandwich. This is not simple news. I mean, you know what I'm saying, the news, Inquirer news. This is headline stuff. She stabbed the baby, so I know the suspicion is, nah, you ain't stabbed no baby by no accident. You did something. But past that, these women who are the parenting gurus with millions of followers touting their parenting skills, and they have 3 or 4 children locked up in the house, duct taped, tied and bound, and they're been doing this for a year. They're doing influencer, whatever the stuff's called, teaching on good parenting. And millions of followers. And the little boy, one of the children, escaped. He got duct tape on. Come to find out also, not only was she starving them and holding them hostage in that way, and the wounds that she would create on them, she would punish them by putting cayenne in the wound. With millions of followers who are applauding her, there's two of them, applauding them for their parenting skills. And you can go on and on and on. It's insane. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved them in that situation because Allah is never after any time or place. So to speak of this open and secret charity, we want to understand more of the benefits. So this is Allah again telling us this is the way you should be with your wealth. There are many ways, meaning that this is just one on the list of ways to be with your wealth. There's a way to be with your wealth openly, and there's a way to be with your wealth secretly. There's a way to give openly, and there's a way to give secretly. Simple principle of the verse that we read, to give openly, God is saying, that's good. He said, that's good. Then he said, but if you give it secretly and make it reach the people that really need it, now that's for your own soul. Let's try to get to how and where that's very, very important. Maududi, rahimahullah alayh, he has this footnote regarding the verse. He says, if charity is of an obligatory nature, it's preferable to dispense it openly. You don't like lining up at the cash table when it's time you're about to check out and you're seen in the line. Trust me, wallahi, I hope you understand. I am so not worried about money. If you don't know, now you know. I think there's a line in a rap song, something like that. But alhamdulillah, because all that we do in fulfilling our obligation to Allah is for our own soul. But if you are conspiring with me openly to build ummah, this is a strategy that you should undertake. It's like, sending in a player in a football game, football season, right? Sending in a player in football, okay, well, you do this, you do that, and you do that, and that's how we're going to run the play. Okay, well, here Allah has said that whether you give open, if you give openly, that's good, but the secret charity that's given, that's really good for your soul. Well, what's the open aspect of it for? You need to set a model. You need to influence. Talking about influences. You need to influence other people. To say, okay, there's the line. How come I ain't in that line? Should I be in that line? Am I going to get in the line? Yes. And that influencing is and watawasso bilhaq, watawasso bisabr, Surah 103. Watawasso bilhaq is telling us, and you be mutual influencers. Don't think about the influence on social media, TikTok, YouTube, whatever. Think about the mutual influence between us. I'm starting to think about gravity and planets and the like, right? Those planets that are part of the same system, that system of gravity is holding them in a particular order. If we are building Ummah together, then we need to influence each other to do what Allah ordered us to do. So Mawdudi is saying when it comes to the obligations of zakat particularly, it's good to do those things openly so that other people can see because we are influencers. I influence you, you influence me. So we want to provide excellent examples. We want to send out that vibration. We want to send out that influence to everybody in the community so that we will vibe with zakat. So we will do what zakat calls to do. Why? Because we have to build Ummah. And wealth is a part of that building. He goes on, Mawdudi, he goes on to say, non-obligatory charity should preferably be dispensed secretly. This principle applies to all acts. As a rule, it is more meritorious to perform obligatory acts openly and non-obligatory acts of goodness secretly. So this is what Mawdudi is explaining to us in terms of what we should do. In the last part of the opening verse, or pardon me, the last part of the portion of the opening verse, it says, وَيُكَفِّرُوا عَنْكُمْ مِنْ سَيَّاتِكُمْ وَيُكَفِّرُوا. It says, it will cover up, it will conceal some of your evil. Secret, that secret act, that act conceals some of our evil. Just in case you might think, oh, I don't need that, I'm good. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was asked, what is sin? His answer is whatever you don't want people to find out. So anybody fit that bill? That's all of us. Every one of us. And it's not for me, that's God. He said, all of you sin by day and by night. He didn't just say all of you sin. He said, night and day, all of you sin. Think we need some coverage? Yes, we need coverage. And Allah is telling us, okay, this is how you get the coverage. Do non-obligatory charity. Make sure that it reaches the people that need it the most, and that will be for your benefit. So please, we have to always protect ourselves. Don't think that we are so pious. Says, I don't need to do that. I mean, listen, I'm almost done. Do you understand that every poor person out there, okay, some of them lying. Okay, fine. You ain't lying, though. Every person out there standing on the corner, meeting you in the grocery store, you know, by the side of the road, you know, help, please, God bless you, et cetera, that's an opportunity. That's better than Walmart. You can shop for some protection for yourself. with that poor person. Let me make sure I give him something so I can get this cleaning. There's no reason in the world. If you got something and you see someone in that condition, you know you're in a better condition than them, even if they're lying. So you pass that opportunity up. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ and اللَّهُ أَكْبَر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In 312, that's what that was. 311 is Maldudi's footnote for that I just spoke from. And the next note is number 312 for that verse. And this is from Tahfim al-Quran. If you're not familiar with it, you should get familiar with it. Tahfim al-Quran. Tahfim al-Quran. His note says this. The performance of good deeds in secret leads to the continual improvement of one's life and character. That is, the more you do secret good deeds, the better you become. All right, make good things public, because I need all the watawato that I can. I just use my health insurance. Find out that they pay for your gym membership. So I don't have to pay for the gym membership. So I'm back in the gym. But we need to get into the spiritual gym. Does your soul need some work? Would you like to see a little more definition in your spiritual abs? See a little stronger spiritual bicep? See a little less fat, a little more, a little better BMI. If you don't know what that is, then go look at the thing out. Yeah. And this is how you get into that spiritual gym. Do secret deeds of charity, and it will shape you up in the deepest way. Through secret good deeds, Maldudi, I'm still quoting. Through secret good deeds, good qualities develop fully, and one's bad qualities gradually wither away. I really hope. I'm praying. Yes, I hope you get this, because you can work on yourself, and you are working on yourself by using that as a principle. It's a process. I want to improve my soul. I want to improve myself. I want to get into good spiritual shape. Do you understand that good spiritual shape is good emotional shape? Good emotional shape is good psychological shape. What do you see when you look in the mirror? When you look yourself in the face, and you speak to your heart of hearts. Do you like you? Do you love you? Do you doubt you? Are you happy that you are you? Or do you wish you were someone else other than you? All these questions you have to answer for yourself. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what the scholar is telling us is that those secret bad deeds, those sins that we don't want people to find out, they corrupt that soul that I'm talking about. And the secret good deeds turn it all around. For example, secret sins diminish our sense of self-worth. They diminish our sense of self-respect. They diminish respect for our own faith.
They leave us with feelings of shame, with feelings of guilt, with feelings of unworthiness, with feelings of anxiety around the issue of, well, what if so-and-so finds out? What if they find out? What if anybody finds out? Blah. You got to carry that. You're carrying that. Doesn't matter who knows and don't know, you know. And so it's in the atmosphere of your own head. It's in the atmosphere of your own psychological ecology. And if that is polluted with the behavior that you don't feel good about yourself. And when you don't feel good about yourself, the mechanism that Allah gave us perfectly cannot work the way that it's designed to work. It's like, but I made a mistake traveling to Phoenix one day with my family. One day with my family, and we had to stop and get gas. And, you know, I'm just filling up the tank. All right, we done. Stop. All right, let's go. Let's get back on the road. Just a few miles down the road, the car. I'm turning around and put diesel fuel. Filled it up. That's a family story forever in our house. You remember that time? Yeah, I already know. Well, that's what happens when we don't fuel our life correctly. You got the wrong fuel. Maybe that's one reason why fuel can be read as fool. Because if you use the wrong fuel, you look like a fool. So what Al-Islam does in this principle here, it provides us a way to get rid of all that. All of those ugly things that we just talked, those distasteful things, those uncomfortable things that I just described, secret charity takes that away. It does the opposite, huh? What it does for those who and who perform it, what it does, it reverses all of that. So you don't suffer from the issues of a lack of respect for your faith. You have a sense of self-worth. You have a sense of self-respect. You have respect for your own faith. It gives rise to feelings of honor and absolution. You know what absolution is? Absolution is that it's like you can shower. It's the way you feel, I believe. It's the way you feel after you make salat. You finish the salat. Especially when the Jummah is set up, maybe you feel the same way here, mashallah. But I think also when you're at home and you're doing something, you got stuff to do, but then you realize, nah, man, I got to stop and make my salat. I'll get back to it. But I got to make my salat. So then you make the salat, and when you finish that salat, it's like everything else is on now. It's good. But if I continue through my salat, I ain't going to be focused anyway. I need to do that. That is the sense of absolution. In the same way with regard to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us, when we do that secret good deed, you feel that kind of cleanliness, that kind of purity, that kind of peace, that kind of serenity, that kind of hope for the future. God says good deeds are best as rewards and as for hopes. You know, salat and zakat becomes like an investment that you hope to see grow. You hope to see it multiply. And you believe that Allah has promised that that's what's going to happen. So when you do it, you say to yourself, I did what God told me to do and I feel good. That's what Al-Islam, and that's what the secret deeds of charity. So last point, and that is, so the performance of good deeds in secret leads to the continual improvement of one's life and character. Just think about it, brother. You said last week, make a list of 10 things, and those 10 things what you actually realize is that you are already that, but it's just you are an obstacle in your own way to realize that. Because the one who created the list was your own soul. Your soul created a list that said this is a good way to be. And how could your soul create that? That's your Nefsun Wahida connection. And that soul says, these are ways of being here. You and I have to make ourselves live up to that, and we have to find out what's in the way. And what's in the way is the things that we do that we don't want people to find out. So the more we remove those things that we don't want people to find out, the greater the purity and the greater the access of that nature comes forward to us or in us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the particular, pardon me, the Prophet, peace be upon him, gives us the particular. He says, fear Allah wherever you are. Remember, seen and unseen, Allah is never absent at any time or place, and he never changes. His attributes never change. So when the Prophet, peace be upon him, tells us, fear Allah, have taqwa for Allah wherever you are, and follow up a bad deed with an excellent one, and the excellent one will erase the bad one and behave in an excellent character towards people. Brother and sister, this is a habit, a way of life. This is Al-Islam. We all have sin. Nobody is without sin. They're called shortcomings. The Imam gives it to us. Shortcomings. We all have shortcomings. We all have shortcomings that we don't want people to find out. And they all harm our soul in some way. They inhibit our soul in some way. They damage our soul in some way. Whether it feels like it or not, the fact is in the nature of creation, our shortcomings harm our soul. And it weakens us. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look, let me give you something that you can take care of that. And what you do in terms of taking care of that is you don't fail to do those things that will improve the condition, that will improve the situation. Because the bad deed, it has what it does, but then the hadith of the Prophet says, but the good deed, the excellent deed, erases the evil deed. So brother and sister, by this process and way of being, what happens is we become more and more acceptable to Allah. And he pardons our sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I know what you did, and I forgive sins. Allah says, I'm never absent any time or place. Ask me for forgiveness, and I will forgive you. And the other part of it is, as we've said and concluded, the other part of it is, follow up your ill deeds with good deeds. And the best one is the secret deeds that reach the people who really need it. That's the way that we achieve what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered for us. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ألا هو ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلم وتسليم. اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم أنت ربي لا إله إلا أنت خلصتني وأنا عبدك وأنا العالم أرواحك ما أثبتت أعوذ بك من شر ما أثنيت أبو لك بنعمتك علي وأبو لك بذنبي فاغفر لي إنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. Oh Allah, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your grace. We beg you and beg you and beg you for your forgiveness. Oh Allah, show us the way of removing our shortcomings. Oh Allah, remove from us any anxiety, fear, doubt. Remove from us any self-justification. Oh Allah, bless us to be sincere and humble before you, and bless us to learn the proper way of living, acting, being as you have created us, so that we can gain the promises that you have promised us, because we know your promise is true. But we know that also you are the one who reckons us and rewards us for our deeds, and that your prophet, peace be upon him, has told us, surely if you find good, praise Allah. But if you find other than that,
blame no one but yourself. Oh Allah, show us the way to live inside of your grace and mercy in the best possible way, and to be a benefit and a blessing to the world, to our family, to ourselves, to our communities. We beg this to the only for none can grant our hope but you and me. Amen. Wa akim as salat. Allahu Akbar. Step into the gap. Make our real straight and even enough space between the shaitan and the vines.
Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina as-sirat wal-mustaqim, sirat wal-ladhina an'amta alayhim, ghayril maghdubi alayhim wa lad-dallin. Inna al-insana lafi khusr, illa alladhina amanu wa 'amilu s-salihati وتواسوا بالحق وتواسوا بالصبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din. Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي الدين. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Yes. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Okay, what's her name?
Eleanor
Hamilton. Eleanor Hamilton. Your oldest daughter's mother. Alhamdulillah. I know. I was trying to figure out a way. How can I say that? Alhamdulillah, we want to keep Eleanor Hamilton in our dua. She's in a coma now. This is one of Bilal's ex-wives. I couldn't get around it. Alhamdulillah, may Allah have mercy on her and on us and on your daughter. Pass our grief to Tahida Brooks Grin. Ihsan Jumar Shahid, I saw him out there. Vanessa Williamson, Rashan Chapman, Ajina Law, Talib Salam, who remembers everybody's birthday. He gets one too. Alhamdulillah, he's been here somewhere. Where you at? There he is right there. The numbers man. Talib Salam, Raja Ali, and Shahid Salam. Alhamdulillah, very charitable brother as well. They are settlement. September birthday. The Muslim movement activity continues. We're going to be out at Cesar Chavez Park at Berkeley starting at 12 p.m. sharp. Wonderful environment, wonderful space. When I got there, all these years I lived there, I have never been at that space. So you got the water, you got the blue skies, you can see the San Francisco skyline, and you can get some work in. So, alhamdulillah, 12 noon in the cul-de-sac, I'm assuming. At the end of the parking lot, right? All right, so we look for that. Also, alhamdulillah, congratulations. And give congratulations. I don't know what the ticket situation is for them. But either way, we want to acknowledge the recognition that filmmaker Najla Mo'min, who is the daughter of our brother here, Salim Mo'min, is being awarded at the 2023 Islamic Scholarship Banquet. For her work in film. She's among the honorees, and that's going on tomorrow, 5:30 in Redwood City, California, inshallah. So if you have any touch with people at the Islamic Scholarship Fund and are interested, then you can do that. Of course, time to be grateful is coming up December 7th, and inshallah. We have one seat left at the Masjid Wardeen banquet table for that event. So if you're interested and you plan to go, then check in right now if you want to get that. And also remember the books. Check out the books, games, and other items that are for sale when you stop by the Zakat table. Alhamdulillah. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum. All right, here you go. Hey, what's going on?
Not much. Good to
see
you. Good
to see you. Yes, good. Hey. That's your daddy, man. Hey, he did.
How are you doing?
All right, Blood Cell, that's not later.